Good morning. Oh, welcome to church. How worthy is the Lamb. That's why we're here to celebrate this morning, as we're celebrating baptism and we're hearing God's stories of what God has done in people's lives. And actually, we're actually receiving the membership and hearing some from an incredible group of people that love Jesus. And so, yeah, worthy is the Lamb, and we've come to worship him. So thank you for coming. I'd like to welcome you all here, family of people that are sharing their testimonies and becoming members, and people that are taking up membership and baptism. You know, I remember that those two things, you don't need to take up membership to be baptized, but it's just something that we do together. But so we're excited. We're celebrating today, this weekend, of God's goodness. And so as we view this as a celebration, have that mindset, have that heart of this is a celebration of what God has done in people's lives. So welcome here, friends, family, for supporting each other, and we thank you. I'd like to welcome people that are joining us online, the people in the family in Sri Lanka, the Patrices. Thank you, and we welcome you to our service. Mrs. Dirksen in the hospital, she said she was going to be joining us as we visited her last night. She said she's going to join us this morning. And so there's others, too, that aren't able to be here today, and you join us online, and we appreciate it, because you're not going to want to miss the celebration of baptism today. So just a couple of things in your bulletin, read it, know it, we're not going to go over it, but I do want to draw your attention to some things that regarding prayer that are in the bulletin and also not in the bulletin. So I mentioned Kathy Dirksen, who had knee surgery on Tuesday of this week, I believe, and then on Wednesday found out that she had a couple blood clots, and so she's still in the hospital, but I did hear she might get out today. So rejoicing with her, and so I had a great visit with her yesterday, and just seeing in all of this, just seeing God's faithfulness and seeing her celebrating and worshiping God was encouragement to my heart. And so continue to pray for her as those blood clots continue to clear, and that God would just give her much continued peace as she walks through this journey and her knee heals as well. Also pray for the John and Adina Jansen family, who are dealing with a great loss this weekend, as John and Adina passed away this past weekend in a horrific accident just here. And also pray for Jared and Sawatsky and their family, as Margaret went to be with her Savior this past week. And so continue to pray for these families. And so just to give you a bit of a heads up, I do plan to go to that service this afternoon, and so I won't stick around too much after the service. And so if you're wondering why did he just dash out of here, that's the reason. The only other thing to take note of is there is no child care for the ages 1 and 2. There is no junior church for above 3, so ages 6 to 9. But there is children's church, ages 3 to 5, downstairs. So check that out in the bulletin. I think the time is there. That's all we need to know. We have a very full service, a busy service this morning, and it's exciting. But I do want to briefly just talk a little bit about what is baptism, define it, and why do we get baptized. And then we will baptize the three people that are taking up baptism. They will share their testimonies. We will baptize them. Then after that, we will have the testimonies of those who are taking up membership as well, and sing a couple of songs. We'll receive them into membership, and all in a timely order. Might not be before 12 o'clock, so just buckle in and have fun, because it's a celebration of what God has done and is doing and continues to do. Let's pray as we get into this service. Oh, Father God, we come before you, and we're excited because what you have done in people's hearts and lives, how you transform lives and how you continue to transform lives. And so, Father, we rejoice, and we want to celebrate that this morning. Oh, God, I pray that you would give much peace and calmness and boldness to those who are going to be sharing what you have done in their lives. And God, may you be honored and glorified through these testimonies. The one thing we do know is that you get all the glory. And so, Father, we come before you, and we want to quiet our hearts and our minds. We want to put the cares in the past of this past week behind us to rest. We're going to leave it with you. And Father, we just want to worship you this morning. And so, Father, as we briefly open your word, may you teach us and may you draw us to yourself. May it be a reminder to those who have been baptized
of what it is we are celebrating, and for those who haven't been baptized, to be able to reflect on what it means to be baptized. Pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I've entitled this sermon today, "The Baptism is the Appropriate Response of the Gospel." Baptism is an ordinance, and I don't know if you know what an ordinance is. It's just a kind of a fancy word for maybe it's a practice that all followers of Jesus are actually commanded to do. And because we do it maybe once, twice, three times a year, depending on who wants to get baptized when, if you want to ever get baptized, just say, and that's why we're baptizing some people today, because they said, "Hey, I want to get baptized." And so that's all we need to do. But we do it depending on when people want to be baptized, we'll do it one to three times a year. And so we might overlook the significance in the life of a follower of Jesus simply because of its familiarity. We do it, you know, a few times a year, we get it, we move on. But I want you to pay close attention, because it is a significant practice in the life of the believer. My desire for those who have been baptized, as I already prayed, is that we would look back with a fresh perspective on what God has done and what it means in the transformation of our lives, and worship there. Glorify and honor God. If you're a follower of Jesus and haven't been baptized, then that you would respond to God's command and take this step in obedience in your spiritual journey. And if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, then the invitation to repent and be baptized is especially for you today. Today I want to emphasize the necessity of baptism for every follower of Jesus, as well as define what baptism actually means. What does it signify when somebody gets in this water and we dunk them underwater and they get up? What does it mean? What does it represent? And so we want to look at that briefly as well. Baptism is the appropriate response to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the good news, to the gospel message. And in Acts 2, Peter was preaching the good news of Jesus to the people. And in Acts 2, verse 37, it says this: "Now when they heard this," so Peter's been preaching to this group of people who don't yet know Jesus, and he's talking about the gospel, the good news that, you know what, you guys, if you're outside of the kingdom of God, you are sinners, you are unbelievers, you're not going to get into the kingdom, but here's how you can. This Jesus, this man, he came, he was crucified, he died on the cross, he rose again, he to pay for your sin. And so it is by grace, the grace of God who sent this Jesus to pay for your sin, that you too can have this hope. You no longer have to live in this sinful condition, separated from God. So that's what Peter's been preaching. And then he says, "Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart." They were pierced to the core, the conviction, the idea that there was something better beyond, that there was hope beyond this life, pierced them. Like, what do we do? How do we respond? Yes, we know, we recognize that we are fallen short of that salvation that Jesus has. We know we're a sinner. We know we're separated from God. We understand what you've been teaching and what you've been preaching, but what do? It pierced them to their heart. And so, And they said to Peter, the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter replies with a proper response. And he says, "Repent, repent. Turn from your old way of life and be baptized. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the free gift of the Holy Spirit." The proper response to the gospel of Jesus Christ is to repent and be baptized. Do you believe? Do you believe that you are a sinner, that Jesus died for that sin? Then the proper response is to believe in him, believe in his name. If you believe in his name, you will be saved. You will be saved. And the response to that is be baptized. Also, Jesus modeled obedience to God the Father by being baptized. And he commanded everyone else, every other follower of Jesus, to do the same. In Matthew 28:19, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." It's God's imperative for every Christian. And so if it's an essential act of obedience to God, then the opposite is also true. It would be an act of disobedience for a follower of Jesus not to be baptized. Now, sometimes we can downplay disobedience and obedience to it a little bit, but ultimately what obedience is obedience to God. And so disobedience equates to sin. And so if you desire, as a follower of Jesus, if you desire to walk in obedience and fellowship with him, then it's pretty hard to avoid baptism. Jesus commanded that every follower of Jesus be baptized. Now, the Greek root word for baptism meant to cover with liquid completely, to totally immerse into water, to totally cover. Way it picks the induction of placing of a person or thing to a new environment or into use with someone else so as to alter its condition or its relationship to its previous environment or condition. So in this sense, baptism means to be identified with Christ. It's taking you out of one place, one position in life. You belong to the world, to the kingdom of this world, to the And when you become a believer, you're taken out of that kingdom of this world and you're placed into the kingdom of God. And that's what this is celebrating. It's celebrating we're taken out, not literally, figuratively, right? Figuratively, we'll just pray at this time. There's something you may have noticed. There's some things going on and we'll just take some time and pray and then we'll carry on. Father God, whatever the situation is, Lord God, pray that you would, clinical staff and team, just be able to oversee, to walk with and care for whatever's happening. And Father, we want to give you all the praise and glory for much wisdom and direction as you deal with this situation. And so, God, we trust that you will be there with them, bring comfort, bring peace, and God, may your healing hand be upon this situation. So, Father, be with those working and caring for this situation. Pray with a person that is in distress. And so, Lord God, we again pray that you would just quiet our hearts and calm our hearts. Help us to be able to concentrate and focus on your word again. Pray these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. Romans 6, verses 4 to 7 says, "Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Consider that as Jesus descended into the grave and he rose again, in baptism, when we're being baptized, what we're doing in baptism, we're going into the water where you would die if you stayed too long. You would physically die if you happened to stay there too long. Then you come back out of this watery grave to a new life. This is the transformation that has taken place in the life of those who are being baptized today and those of us who have been baptized. This is what it signifies. This is what we are represents through baptism. Also, water reminds us of God's judgment, like in the flood, which Peter references in 1 Peter 3, or the drowning of the Egyptian armies when they were passing through the Red Sea. And Jesus, too, passed through judgment and lived, and we also pass through the waters of judgment and live. It's what baptism represents. Just as Christ passed through death and judgment, when we are baptized, we are saying, Me too. I want to identify with you, Jesus. Me too. I'm joining with Christ in his death so that I can experience his new life through judgment into righteousness. Baptism is commonly understood as a public declaration of salvation. And that's why we combine it together with testimonies of God's work in someone's life. But that's not all it is. Baptism is only a if baptism was only a public declaration of faith in Christ, it could be replaced by an announcement in the bulletin, or we could post it on social media somewhere. However, baptism is spiritually significant because of what it represents, because of the identity-shaping memorial it provides and the commitment it symbolizes. Christian baptism illustrates in dramatic style the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And at the same time, it illustrates our death to sin and new life in Christ. There's a transformation that's happened. And it doesn't mean that we stop sinning, because if you're a child of God, or even if you're not a child of God, you know that people still do sin. But what it does is it takes us out of that world, that predisposition to be held under its control. And now we live and are controlled by a new master, Jesus Christ. As a sinner confesses the Lord Jesus, he dies to sin, Romans 6:11, and is raised to a brand new life, Colossians 2:12. Being submerged in the water represents death to sin. And again, it's not saying death to so that we never sin, but death to that old life, being ruled by the prince of this world, the prince of darkness, Satan himself. And it represents, and emerging from the water represents the cleansed, holy life that follows salvation. Romans 6:4 puts it this way: we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we may too live a new life. You see, we too may live a new life. And the scripture teaches us that we're not on our own. If you go to Philippians 2 verse 13, and I like the way the NLT puts it, because it talks about Christ gives us both the desire and the power to do what pleases him. The power is in the person of the Holy Spirit who comes upon us at salvation. We receive the gift of salvation. We received the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus to life. And that's incredible. It's absolutely incredible to know and understand that the Holy Spirit dwells in us. I know we mentioned briefly in Connect this morning about the idea of the Holy Spirit, and we kind of, in our conservative mindset, we undervalue sometimes the Holy Spirit because we're a little bit scared of becoming charismatic. And I get that. There's a balance there, because God has given us the Holy Spirit, and he does incredible work, and he lives in us as a believer to empower us as we walk in this newness of life. So why wait? There's a question I'm asking you. If you are a follower of Jesus and you are not baptized, why wait? You'll have to talk to God and figure that question out. Because it's simple: repent and be baptized. If you've already been baptized, remember back to when you were washed, when you then died, and when you passed through judgment and praised Jesus. He died for you but didn't stay there. He rose again. That is absolutely powerful for the life of the believer. With that, I want to invite and spend some time as we move towards baptism. And Pastor Vern, you're the greatest. He set that up already, so that's good. You didn't have to worry about stuff ever. I love it. So we do have three people getting baptized this morning, and we are doing this in absolutely no particular order, so I will just start inviting some of these incredible people up who, they're incredible, why? Because they're made in the image and likeness of Jesus. We're all incredible people made in the image and likeness of Jesus. And so, why don't we start with Nathan? Nathan Weens, why don't you come up and share your God story with us? Come on over to this side here, and this mic should be on for you.